Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, why, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We posted an interesting question on our Facebook page just recently, and it was this: if you had the opportunity to have a sit-down meeting face-to-face with Jesus Christ, what would you ask him? And we've had a number of people respond to that, and if you would like to respond to it, we invite you to go to our Facebook page, the Basic Gospel Facebook page, and answer or write a comment to that, and we will answer it here on the broadcast. Well, one of the most interesting ones was this question: God, how can you love me despite my failures? That's what one person would want to know in a sit-down conversation with Jesus. How can you love me despite my failures? And I think that's a question probably most of us have asked at one time or another. How can you really love me when I think the things that I do, when I do the things that I do, when I harbor the attitudes that I do? How can you love me despite all of those sort of things? Well, we're trying to define God's love through, you know, our actions, and we're putting conditions on it. But one of the things that we learn about God's love is that it is totally unconditional. There are no strings attached. God just chooses to love us. That's a part of his nature. When John says God is love, that's exactly what he means. God is love. And so that's how he's going to act toward us, regardless of what we say, do, think, or feel. God is going to love us. That's just part of his nature. And it's interesting, when we can come to grips with that, then that love for us will just break through in, as I say, glorious splendor. When we can put ourselves in the worst possible position, you know, that we've ever been, and realize that God loves us right then and there, then this love is really going to take hold in our lives. So I think we need to look at the cross. There, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So at our worst moment, God demonstrated his love toward us. And so we have to quit thinking in terms of the conditional nature of our love for other human beings, and step back and say, well, wait a minute, there are no conditions to God's love. So how does God love us despite our failures? He just chooses to do so, and that's great news, isn't it?
Sure is.
Yeah, I can't think of anything better than that. And when Paul said, I am convinced that absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God, as you are growing in Christ Jesus, that's where he wants to take you, to that sure conviction that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. People ask often, you know, can this sin separate me from the love of God? And the answer is absolutely not. That action that you just did, that thought that you just had, that attitude that was there in your heart, it doesn't change the fact that God sent Jesus. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus died in your place. It doesn't change the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead so that you could have everlasting life. Your sin didn't even make a dent into those activities of God. So you have to realize once and for all that God's love trumps your sin every single time. It is so much bigger than anything that you could say, do, or think.
Yeah, I saw a report earlier this week from NASA, and they've gotten a picture of one of the giant black holes out in space sucking a star in, just tearing it apart and sucking it in. You want to know what happens when you sin or have the bad thought or the horrible attitude? The love of God sucks that whatever it is into his love and destroys it. It just gone.
Oh, what an illustration.
Yeah, that is a powerful illustration. Yeah. And I hope folks will really pay attention to that. Yeah. So God loves us. It's an unconditional love. And that's what we're here for as far as basic gospel is concerned. We want to deliver the good news of God's love so that those out there can connect to God's love, not just know about it or hear about it, but actually experience the love of God in the person of Christ Jesus. We have a wonderful resource for you this month. It is called Love Is. It is a CD series that works through the 15 statements that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13 to define the love of God. So when Paul says love is patient, he is saying that God is patient with you. God is kind with you. God is never boastful and all of those sort of things. God's love never fails towards you. So if you will grab hold of this, I guarantee you your life will change, and we want you to have this resource. And it's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's just our way of saying thanks.
Absolutely. And you can accomplish both of those. You can support the ministry, and you can request your copy of Love Is simply by clicking Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number is available right now, 844-412-2742. Well, Bob, I see we have a longtime friend on the phone.
We do have a longtime friend on the phone, Eileen Mason. Welcome to Basic Gospel today. So
Hi,
glad
Eileen.
You could join us.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Bob and Bob. Yeah. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, for our listeners, Eileen Mason, we met her many, many years ago. She was an editor at Harvest House Publishers out in Eugene, Oregon. She has since left there many years ago and formed with Evelyn Wheeler a company called the Israel Tour Company, and they're the folks that are putting together our tour of Israel next February. And Eileen, you just returned from Israel, didn't you?
I did. We had a group go out of Oklahoma City, about 45 people, and just had a fabulous time. I think what's hard for people to realize is what can be seen over there and what can be experienced. People are always surprised, even though they try to imagine what it would be like when they're finally there. It's hard to comprehend. It really is.
Well, Eileen, you've been taking groups over for 20 plus years now, I think, and are getting close to that. And you know, what's the biggest thing that you see happen in the lives of people through that journey, as they follow the footsteps of Jesus and see the place where their redemption actually happened, where Christ died, was buried, and then was raised back to life? What do you see happening in the lives of people who go?
Well, you know, Bob, it's one of those things that's a little difficult to describe, because, of course, as you read the Bible, some of us from the time we were little children, and we read the stories and we believe in our hearts that these things took place, and we come to faith in Christ and continue our journey, and then have an opportunity to actually travel to where these things actually took place. And I think when people stand in the locations where Jesus was, on the Sea of Galilee, Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, some of the locations that you know for sure, this is where he was, this is where these important events took place. It's like time travel, and I think it compresses for the believer the whole concept of, I know this took place, I know this happened, now I'm actually here, I'm experiencing it. It has a very strengthening effect, I think, on people's faith. I think that's one of the biggest things that comes out of a trip like this. It's as though if you could go to see the parting of the Red Sea, you'd pay a lot of money for that, because that was a big miracle. And to be in Israel and see the Jewish people back in their homeland after 2,000 years, it's life changing.
Yeah, that is a miracle. And I know when you go to some of the various places, for me, one of the most profound as far as my faith was concerned was Caesarea Philippi up in northern Israel. And that's where Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And when you put that question in the in the you know, the actual location, and you see that's where the headwaters of the Jordan River are, and you realize, well, wait a minute, Jesus is talking about the very beginning of Christianity, how we enter in, and it all just brings that into much clearer understanding.
Yeah, who do you say that I am?
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was a marvelous place, and of course...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Eileen.
When I was there this last time with the group, I think one of the things that hit home for me again is realizing that Jesus took his disciples to that northernmost point in Israel, and standing there in what was a very pagan environment and culture at the time, it makes you appreciate the fact that not that much has changed. We're facing some pretty extreme things right now in the world, and he took them to that site where there was a lot of idol worship and asked that question. So it was very relevant even to our times today.
Yeah, it's extremely relevant. And then, of course, you know, there's Jerusalem and just the, you know, that one day where we just retrace the final steps that Christ took, starting in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I was taken there by the fact that this work that Christ was going to do on our behalf was his and his alone. You know, all of his disciples scattered at that moment, and it was just Jesus doing what God had sent him to do, to bear the sins of the world, to die, to be buried, and then to be raised back to life. There was no one else that could add to that, that could help Jesus in that work. God sent Jesus for that very purpose, and just the enormity of that weight that he must have felt and endured really becomes, you know, a part of your understanding. You feel that in ways that you couldn't without being there. So this is such a vitally important trip, and Eileen, you and Evelyn just do an incredible job of handling all the details to make it the most meaningful trip possible.
Well, one of the things that was a part of our original vision was to not just have a sightseeing tour. And when you're in places like you just described, Bob, the Garden of Gethsemane or the Garden Tomb, some of these very important places to us and to our faith, we really want people to have time in those locations. So a lot of times you'll notice other groups coming on and off the sites, you know, two or three times faster than we are, because we really want to be able to linger and understand where we are and absorb the moment and give people time for personal reflection. So that becomes more than just a sightseeing tour. We're really on a journey there to discover what the Lord has to say individually to the people that are part of the trip, because I do think that there is a calling that happens for people to make this trip to Israel. It's not an easy trip to make. It's expensive. It takes time. It takes commitment. One of the most difficult things is dealing with friends and family who will say to you, "Are you crazy? Why are you going to the Middle East?" But it's really been a safe experience for all of our tour members so far. I mean, it's one of the things that people say. As much as they say it's incredibly meaningful, they also say, I just can't believe how safe I felt.
Yeah.
And I think if God calls you to spend time there, you can be confident that he's got you covered.
Absolutely. I know the first trip that we took, that I took with you and your company, you know, I went out on my own. You know, I walked the streets of Jerusalem all by myself.
That's right.
I went into a couple of different, of the different neighborhoods and the German quarter, and just walked there by myself, and I never felt fear at all. I had this overwhelming sense that I was at home.
That's what people say. They feel like they've come home, and it's one of the reasons, Bob, I appreciate the fact that with your program that you're offering in February, that you've allowed the people to have an extra day on this trip. And so once the itinerary is done, once we've done the touring and seen the things we need to see, you've given people some extra time in Jerusalem just to do what you're saying, to really make it their own. We don't need to over-program everything. People can walk the streets, sit in the cafes, just observe the life of the Jewish people there in Israel. And it's a good way to finish the trip, to have that extra time.
Yes, it is. Well, Eileen, you and I discussed today, and we've been talking about this, extending the deadline for registration. And that new deadline is August 1st. So if you're interested in joining us next February for this journey through the Holy Land, where Jesus died, was buried, and was raised again so that you could have life, all that information is at our website at basicgospel.net, and the deadline for registration is August 1st. And when somebody registers, do they have to pay for it all up front, or
no,
do they just
no,
do
they
a
don't.
Deposit and then have a final payment sometime later in the year?
We ask for a $500 deposit, which holds the hotel and the airline space. For that individual, we'll confirm their reservation, and then we will let them know when the final payment is due, which I think is not until October. So there's time to get the balance of the funds together. And then February is a wonderful time of the year to go. It's not as crowded in the country. The temperatures are mild. So you picked a good time, Bob. February will be wonderful. We've got a good group already, and we're happy to add a few more. So
yes,
we've got
indeed.
Time.
Well, Eileen, thank you so much for hopping on with us today sharing your heart and your vision for people as they go. And, I hope many of our listeners heard Eileen's heart, and that you will come and join us in February, because it really is going to be a journey that will impact your walk with Christ in ways that you never dreamed possible. So come be a part of it. All the information on how you can sign up is at basicgospel.net. Just click the events tab and come join us next February. Eileen, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, indeed. We'll
Thank
see you
Bob.
Soon.
Yes, nice indeed. To visit. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'd love for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to talk about Israel, or if you would like to pose another question, you can do that at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Richard, we, of course, have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for our listeners to take part in something very, very special. And as we approach the 30th, which, of course, is the end of our fiscal year, we would like to let them know on an ongoing basis of this matching gift, and fill us in.
Yeah. Well, our fiscal year ends on Thursday, and we needed $199,510 to meet our year-end goal, and we're over halfway there. Okay, so people have been generous. We have had some amazing gifts. We have right now on the table a $25,000 matching gift, and so if you can give any amount, you can rest assured that that amount is doubled.
Yeah.
And you can also rest assured that this money is not going to our Learjet. This is going to ministry.
Darn.
Plans are plans, This is about reaching people with the love of Jesus Christ. And the more you help us means the more you're helping other people. And we can do this by Thursday. There is no doubt in my mind. There are people out there right now who could write a single check for the rest of this money. There are people who could write checks for $1,000 or for $500 or for $30. It doesn't matter. Write the check, follow the Spirit's lead, and do what the Spirit is asking you to do to get the message of Jesus out to people whose lives are being changed every day. It's
Absolutely.
Worth it.
You betcha. You can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Billy is here right now. She'd love to hear from you and discuss your gift. 844-412-2742. Did we finish our Israel conversation?
We did finish our Israel conversation, but we can circle back.
Let's circle
and
back.
And encourage folks to register. Go to basicgospel.net and click the events tab.
Right.
And all the information is there. There's a brochure that you can download if you want to see more information, you want to see the itinerary. There is also all kinds of information on how you can register. But come be a part of it. $500 deposit. I think the cost of the trip is $3,750. That includes everything, your flight over, hotels, entry fees into all the different sites, two meals a day. It just doesn't get any better than that.
All the transportation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And as Eileen said, February is the perfect time of the year to go. It's not as busy. So we will be able to really absorb each and every site and truly feel the weight of what actually happened there in a very, very positive way.
And the way the trip is scheduled, the schedule is set up, we're not riding for hours and hours and hours to get from one location to another. It's a relatively small country. I was really taken by the, you know, the panorama of biblical history that we've read about all of our lives, thinking it's just so grand and everything. The little bitty country, you know, but it's so vital to international trade and to war at that time in the ancient days.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's a beautiful country, and I hope that many of our listeners will take advantage of the opportunity to come and be with us. We have to limit it at 40, but, hey, we still got room.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Plano, Texas, and talk to Roland, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Roland.
Hello, brother. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for your patience, my friend.
Happy to. I've got a quick question, and my question is, how can I learn to love God more fully?
Well, Roland, I think that is just the absolute perfect question to ask. And I think we have to step back and say, for me to love God more fully, I have to understand how God actually loves me. So our love for God is a response to God's love for us. It's not that we love God, as John wrote, but that he loved us first. So, Roland, if you want to learn how to love God more fully, I think you have to step back and say, I want to know how much you love me. And I think that's going to answer your question. So that love, Roland, was first demonstrated for you at the cross. So 2,000 years ago, God demonstrated his love for you that while you were a sinner, still a sinner, Christ died. So God loves you that much that he would send Jesus to die in your place, to take your sins. So, Roland, all of your sins have been forgiven through the shed blood of Christ. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Amen.
And when you fully believe that, and you know you fully believed it, when your heart just overflows with gratitude, where all you can say to the Lord is, thank you for sending Jesus to take away my sins once and for all. Thank you for cleansing me so that I could stand before you as a forgiven and clean person. And when you really grasp that, Roland, then the love of God just opens up in just beautiful ways to you. So you start at the cross, recognizing the love of God that was demonstrated for you there. That becomes the foundation, and you just build on it, always with the mindset that God, continue to show me the height and depth and length and breadth of your love. And as he does, and as your mind starts to grasp that, as your heart starts to embrace that, you're going to find yourself loving God more fully.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Are there any verses or anything that you recommend I start with?
Well, here's a prayer that I would encourage you to adopt personally. It is in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, starting in verse 16. So Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16, and Paul is basically praying for the believers at Ephesus, but for us as well. And he says, I pray that God would strengthen you in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that he would strengthen you through his Spirit, that you would gain an understanding of the height, depth, length, and breadth of the love of God, and so that you can know this love that passes understanding and be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. So adopt that as your personal prayer. That's one God is going to answer, and you're going to start growing in your understanding of the love of God, and your question how to love God more fully will be answered for you.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Let me put you on hold, Roland. Yeah. We have some great resources that we can send to you, put into your hands, that I think will be a help in this regard, okay? You hang on.
Okay.
Friends, a quick reminder that our fiscal year ends on Thursday, as does the $25,000 matching gift offer, meaning that every dollar you give between now and this Thursday will be doubled. So you can see your gift to Basic Gospel double simply by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. You can join us in supporting this life-changing message as we approach our fiscal year end. Remember, too, that with your gift of $20 or more, you'll receive Bob Christopher's excellent CD series called Love Is. Again, you can click donate. You can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can call and make your gift by phone at 844-412-2742. Again, that number is 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.